You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Your girl been saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. I am Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am honored that you have joined us today. We are delighted. Thank you for joining us. We have a guest who is prolific and yet has such a generous spirit with the lessons that he learns and the things that he knows, and he's always a joy to have here. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hello, everybody. My name is Talon Bazil. I'm a hip-hop artist. Writer, poet, I'm from here, South Dakota, Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, but I prefer Crow Creek, South Dakota, Cheyenne River, Lakota. Those are my homes and where I'm coming from as well.
What a wonderful list you just gave us of things to do with your time and talent and energy. Which of those are you passionate about now?
I guess recently my energy. I'm putting my energy into as much as possible and facing the repercussions for it and learning balance and stuff. So I'm kind of, that's kind of been, I guess, my struggles throughout life is energy, because it's easy for me to feel things and what's in the room, what's in the air, and not just mentally, but physically, you know, like, mm-hmm. I forget the exact term of it, but you know, when you feel like an emotion, you kind of just feel it somewhere in your body as you feel it. You know, I'm hyper aware of things like that. So when I do things like music or helping other people with music and whatever else, business-wise, I'm trying to do it, and even socially in my own life, it's all enveloped in energy.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an empath, where you really are.
I don't like to advertise it, but yeah, I would categorize myself as that. That was how I learned to kind of like think about other people, was because I would mm-hmm. just feel these random things and not know what's going on, and mm-hmm. Feel somebody's pain even though I had nothing to do with it, and feel like I did it to them. And as a kid, and I was lucky to have parents to coach me through that at the early stages of my life, because then when I was kind of a little more on my own in adolescence and later on in life, it helped me like navigate going through, you know, understanding the harder emotions. As a kid, you know, of course, you see stuff, but even when you see certain things, I feel like you interpret it a certain way, regardless mm-hmm. of if it's traumatic or not, especially if it becomes your norm. But then adolescence, and especially going off to college, it's like the great awakening. Like you see whatever, you start focusing on everybody, right? And like, and like, oh, and then they hear your story all of a sudden, now that it's in retrospect, and you know, people respond to it differently than you do, and it's like, well, you know, the things I was normalized to, and processing all of that, it's a it's a task for sure, and one I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think you're helping a lot of people. You know, one of the greatest things one of our elders ever said to me when I would have different, you know, pain points like that, or just be thinking certain things, she said, "Are you sure that's your thought? Are you sure that's your feeling?"
Mm.
You have to learn the gift of discernment.
Yeah.
With that, okay, somehow, you know, because even during recent political events and during certain things that have been going on in the nation, you know, I've been feeling certain ways, but it's not my, I feel fine. Like when I take inventory, I'm like, my life is wonderful. Why do I feel like this? It's because there's something going on in the spiritual atmosphere and the emotional landscape.
Right.
And so I always appreciated learning that skill of discernment. You know, to this day, my sister will say to me, "Oh, that's not your thought." And that's right. It's not. It's like, it's not. It's someone around us, or something is happening, or somebody else's, you know, it's not mine. And so when I really learned that my own pain is one thing, but somebody else's emotions or whatever are separate, then we can decide the actions we're going to take to help them or to preserve ourselves, protect ourselves. So I really appreciate you talking about that authentically, because there's people out there right now who are like, "What's wrong with me?" Nothing. Nothing's wrong with you, not one thing.
Yeah.
And also, we have to be so careful, too. You know, John Trudell said, protect your spirit, because you're in the place where spirits get eaten. And I think especially when you have empath gifts, or you have spiritual gifts, perhaps, that are meant to help people. They're meant to make you compassionate and wise and kind and caring, but there are narcissists and toxic people and predators out there, and we have to learn to discern who really needs our help and who's just helping themselves.
Right, and I really agree with that, and like, I feel like traveling and you know, having music along there aside me with it really kept me open to art, because I feel like if I wasn't making music through college and even just living in general, I would have, because I do a lot more work in psychology professionally up until, you know, the last couple of years, and if I wasn't doing music then, I think my mind would have been kind of turned off to I don't know if you would call it like an artistic open-mindedness about the world.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
One thing I learned, like what you're saying of like discernment too, is like even moments and and when like a beautiful moment is paired with such a traumatic like day or situation or historic reality. Like I remember being in Philly, I was taking a class called Gods, Ghosts, and Monsters at Penn. And in that class, we had to actually do like a haunted tour of Philadelphia for credit and write about it. Like, not write about our experience, but almost like write about, you know, our thoughts on America's interpretation of spirits and how they... even topics of like how they mystify it in different cultures or commercialize it, or, you know, find ways to keep that sort of like haunted history alive. And as we're doing it, this, you know, the guide's kind of given us like not so PC stories, and we're all like, and there's people there was actually a woman wearing a hijab with us in the class, and she was one of the she was like affiliated with us in the school, but she was kind of helping, you know, navigate us through Philly. And he looks at her and is like, "So this woman, right, this, you know, haunted lady is telling the story, he was wearing kind of like a hood like you," and like just things like that were happening. And, you know, we're all looking around like, you know, what do we do? And do we just, it was strange. This was like, gosh, I think this was 2013. And we go to this graveyard in the middle of, smack dab in the middle of Old City, Philadelphia. It's where all of the, you know, Benjamin Franklin and and all of those, you know, quote unquote, founding fathers, those people walked around and did their business and, you know, worked on creating what we know now. Mm. And we're at this graveyard in the middle of it, and all, you know, there's cabs going by. It's now, it's like, it's center city. It's more like a tourist destination, party spot, you know, it's the city. And in this graveyard, there's a placard, and it says, you know, two Lakota men, you know, we're visiting here. And then this is the haunted guy telling the story. Two Native Americans were going through here and here on business travel to, you know, to A, B, and C and, you know, negotiate and blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, when they got here, you know, because of the trip and because of everything, they got sickness. Because in their land, they weren't used to some of the bacteria that the Wasichu had brought and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And people kind of look at me. He doesn't say Lakota. He just kind of says Native American. And a couple. The atmosphere was like, especially in that time, it was just more along the lines of, well, at least he didn't say Indian. But you take a step back and it's like, you know, this is part of a tour that people pay money for. And he talks about it, he's like, so maybe their souls are still wandering this grave. And I wanted to like deck him. Like I'm not a violent person, but I'm honest about my thoughts. And that was my honest thought. Being surrounded by, you know, nobody that knows where I come from. And nobody that will ever understand that truly, coupled with the fact that just being there, I gave up, you know, I gave up a sense of validation from my home by being there away from home, even though it was for home. Mm-hmm. It's like you give that up. You give up your, not wolf tickets, but it's like your card is, you don't take your, I learned early on, especially because I had to stay so far away for so long, that, you know, you give up that passport in some way. People can pretend to keep their tribal ID and whatever, but it's like you still feel that way, especially as a kid. You know, I was, I look back at that time and I'm like, man, I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I talk to some of the youngins who are that age now, who I mentor, and I'm like, and it opens my eyes a bit. But in that same moment of traumatic history and kind of injustice, I was like, well, maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe there hasn't been like an indigenous person to come on this haunted tour for any reason. You know, if we're going to Philly, we're getting the cheesesteak, we're checking out the Liberty Bell, and we're heading out. But I was there, and I got to see that. And maybe other people saw it, and they prayed for them, too, or whatever, but I at least got to, I was like, okay, the stars aligned for me to come here and pray for these two, so that way if they didn't make it home, and these guys are telling this story every night, you know, I can at least try to send them home, because who knows if it was even sickness. That's their story. In my head, immediately, I just went to thinking, those poor men, they came here to do something, like negotiate something important. And of course, you know, unfortunately, they got sick. We couldn't handle the bacteria and this and that. And in moments like that, it's like you learn to discern and not just like think about it positively, but think about, you know, well, what was this for? Because I'm on that belief always that everything has a reason.
Wow, that is so powerful. And again, I always am grateful for your willingness to be transparent, because my granddaddy used to say that there was two ways that you could learn something. You could make mistakes or you could have mentors. And I think it's so beneficial for us to hear, you know, from people who have some life experiences or wisdom or a perspective. And I see you doing that, especially in the music business. So So what does it mean to you when you say mentor? What does it mean to be a mentor?
I don't know if I consider myself an appropriate businessman. In fact, or I try to tell the artists I do mentor that, you know, when it comes to money and stuff, know that I make a lot of decisions that aren't mm-hmm. healthy in terms of
mm-hmm.
I will say no to a lot. I know you're trying, what your mission is your mission. I always tell them that. If that co-aligns with mine and you want me, you know, there for support, or you want my advice or my honest opinion, I'll give it to you. But take everything I say when it comes to money and deals with a grain of salt, because I'm the guy who will say no to a lot of stuff and people will look at me weird, or I will back out mm-hmm. of things if it don't seem right. And in fact, after I get off a call with you, I'm getting like business ethics advice from somebody because I'm looking at giving up a deal that might be like, you know, it would help me a lot. It would like, I would be good for a little bit, but I'm honestly thinking no. And I have my own mentors.
Right.
I look to
yeah,
those
yeah.
mentors who I look through in the screen or who I got along the way personally. And I think about how they speak to me and what works and what makes me feel good and what makes me not feel so great. And I see who I'm talking with, and I try to remember what their goal is and what I feel like, maybe not what I want to say to them, but what I feel like, you know, would help them rather than detour or to put down. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I come from that background of like a lot of toxic adults kind of putting pressure
mm-hmm.
And like not even just like toxic masculinity either, but like putting that framework of toxic masculinity on other things. You need to do this hard work and be this way and do this and do it that way, when reality is, you know, they're facing an entirely different life than what I did and what I had available to me and what I didn't have available to me. You know, I think in ways I need to be aware that my struggles were also a privilege. You know, I had a lot of privilege in my life, but even the struggles that I had were a privilege to me, because it gave me insight that, you know, until you really go through some of those things, and a lot of people know what I'm talking about, like they're probably shaking their head right now, like, yeah, if you never did the kind of job that I have to do, or what I do every morning, or what I did to get here every morning, you know, even you with all the accomplishments you have, it's different for everybody. But at the same time, there's a humility to it. It's like we're proud of it, but I don't want to ever tell another artist, be like, yeah, give up that 10 grand deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not gonna do you any favors, unless if I see something in there that's really gonna harm them. But even then, I can't tell them to not do it, because, you know, maybe for them, if they're really that much wanting to go down that road, maybe that's the thing, maybe that's the lesson they need to learn to teach the next person. Just like how, you know, like when there's that independent living philosophy of you allow people to take their risks and to fall. Just like, you know, with anything, you allow people to do their own thing. And I know how hard it is to be judged. I don't want to do that to anybody else, even when they're asking me to. Mm-hmm. And even when I feel it deep in my bones, I'm trying to learn to shut up and like not say so much anymore, because I really don't know everything. But so when I look at mentoring these artists, it's more about trying to get them to you know, of course, gather the tools that they need, and you know, whatever I know, I kind of pass that knowledge on to them. This is software they use. This is how I do it. This is, you know, A, B, and C, or they'll have specific questions. And then also just figuring out how to then use those tools to do something that's going to make you happy at the end of the day. Because, you know, we're living in a time where this stuff isn't different. It's not what we hope it to be all the time. So my most important thing of all, at all times, is make it make you happy, and you'll never fail in life.
I used to tell my students, I'm not God and I'm not your mama. This is just what I think. And, you know, this is just what I think. This is just, you know, with the knowledge that I have, wisdom that I have, what I feel or discern or what I think. And I think it's really super important, though, for us always. I mean, everyone has mentors, you know, and humility comes before honor. And one of the signs of humility is the willingness to ask, the willingness to listen, you know, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety, you know. Nobody would set out to build a tower without making some plans and thinking and planning ahead, and yet people make life choices just like, oh, I don't know, let's try it. You know? And I think that there's a lot to be said at every level for having wise counsel. You know, when I left for Harvard, my granddaddy said, that's wonderful, but make sure you're never the smartest person in the room. And he really, really wanted me to surround myself with people who will tell me no, people who will speak up, people who know more than I do. And I'm so grateful for all those people. I am. I'm really grateful, because that's the secret of my success, is God and a lot of wise counsel, people who knew what I should do, even when I didn't. And I was thinking about, you know, my career started with modeling, and there are so many opportunities to just ruin your life in modeling. Just take the wrong ad, pose for the wrong magazine, and it's just done. You know, your career's over later on in life. And I think back on all the things that offered me a whole lot of money real quick at 17, 16, 17, 18 years old, you know, just pose like this, dress like this, and you'll make a whole lot of money. Or it sounded like a lot of money. And I, you know, everyone around me was like, nope, she doesn't do that. Nope, she's always dressed. Nope, she doesn't pose like that. Nope, she doesn't pose with guys. No. And it sounded like we were turning down lots and lots of money at the time. But now here we are down the road, and there's nothing I said no to that I regret saying no to.
Right. And I totally relate to that, because I remember, you know, we talked about this in another show, but, you know, there's that toxic, of course, social media, it has its good and its bad, but definitely it's good for kids like me who grew up more like wanting to be solitary and kind of do their own thing. Mm-hmm. But as a indigenous person who goes off into education, and then you also do music that's different, there's like a certain kind of eye. And so, like, you know, everybody wants to, I had a lot of people, you know, trying to be my mentor and tell me, you know, what to do and make my moves for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to, like, when I was doing like more youth stuff a long time ago, I would kind of try to tell them each time, like, understand that you're, story alone, like just you waking up this morning, your story from waking up to getting to the school and what you did, what you said, is all worthy of a blockbuster movie. Like, I mean, they would tear out every bit of culture that you present just in your everyday breath and put millions of dollars on it. So, you know, the stories we carry, it's all, like, you know, worthy of gold to me. The problem is like you said, like, people want these really strange compromises that it's not like, even when they're not like destroying your life, quote unquote, there's certain things of even the way that they approach you about it, where spiritually they're killing you. They're taking from you. And and it made me love people like John Trudell, regardless of, you know, I know that, I'll address that controversy that it seems like a lot of people kind of, like, you know, whisper about, is like, regardless of how authentic people say, you know, whatever his identity was, he was really one of us in how he talked, because I have never understood, as a Lakota, as a Dakota, another person as much as when I heard him, like, do a poem. That sounded to me like just somebody talking. It sounded like real speech, and mm-hmm. some of the things he said, like, you know, be calm and patient, and tapping into certain feelings that of that mindset that we have of, you know, it feeling everything and wanting things to be okay for everybody. But at the same time, defending peace and having to, even though you're being humble, having to put some worth on yourself, otherwise they really will eat you up. And I remember, I was 22. I had just graduated. I was broke. I was trying to figure out what to do, what for money. And three major things like occurred. And it felt like every time it was like those, not once in a lifetime things, but you know, you get those opportunities in your life and you're like, whoa, that's rare. Those were happening. And I refuse to say names. I refuse to all of that because I have no genuine hate for these people. I don't even remember their company's names, but I was approached by like one documentary series that wanted to kind of at some point highlight me and my music and schooling. So I guess that was during school, and I said no to that mm-hmm. because I was lucky enough to have a lawyer friend who saw it, and they were like, no, man, up to 2014, they're going to own everything you made up to 2014, and you can't oh. use it. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, they didn't tell me all that. But yeah, oh, that's what it is. So, okay, I expect this from them because they weren't a part of what I'm from. So I was like, okay, you know, this, I mm-hmm. stopped responding. And then this other thing, I had gotten approached directly from the person doing the project. And it was the way that I was approached and just some of the things that I had heard about this particular person. Because that's the other thing is, you know, a lot of people see this media game as like we're in the 90s still of like,
yeah.
oh, you know, it's us versus the man. It's like, no, the man is now a lot of different people, and sometimes he looks exactly like you.
Shapeshifter.
And so,
yeah,
and sometimes from what you come from. This person approaches me, and immediately they're calling me little brother. We've never seen each other. I'm not even sure this person even knows what I look like. But they were like talking to me and saying that in particular they were getting like a couple people who were of res but in the city, what they were doing, what they're about. I understand you make music too. I've never listened to it, but I've heard about it and I heard what you're doing. And for the most part, I understood, and this is the thing that would offend me right away, or not offend me, but like I would understand if people were actually about the art or not. And that was always my thing, is I always wanted it to be about the art or the message or what we're doing. Is people wouldn't ever hear my music, but they would hear about me and what uh-huh. I was uh-huh. affiliated with. Uh-huh. And I learned that from a long time ago of like kids, of like, be careful, man. He might just not be messing with you because you're so-and-so's cousin. Be careful if that person ever, you know, leaves here or passes away, or, you know, suddenly that's not the person to be feared and he can't protect you anymore, or she can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm used to that. So this person was like that. It was like, I hear about what you're doing. I never heard a song that you've ever made, but, you know, I know you're great and that this will be great. And I thought about it and I was like, you know, they're not going to represent me or what I want or what I'm thinking of. And if I do this like this just because it's money and whatever and publicity, you know, it's gonna make me into something I'm not. And I was telling you before, like, I didn't want to be the native youth ambassador role model guy, like, or the one who continues to preach to them, even though he's still technically one of them. You know, I'm still young, mm-hmm. kind of, but I don't want to disrespect anybody who's supposed to be the teachers now. And So, you know, I tell him, I'm like, no, you know, I honestly don't think so. And in that call, he just goes, he's like, you know, if not this, then what?
Mm.
You know, if not this, then what? How are you going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your plan? If not this, then what? You're out of college now, kind of making it seem like, you know, your stock's going out. You're out of college now, so that education title can't carry you too much farther because people aren't looking at you while you're studying anymore. He didn't say that, but that's what I felt. And maybe I took that too personally, but it was, if not this, then what? And I took that serious, and I said, if not this, then I said, I'll be honest with you. I don't mind living as a bum where I'm at, doing what I'm doing. No matter where I'm at, what situation, I just want to make this art and be happy and continue my way that I'm learning and that's connected to the stars and our people. He's like, okay. He's like, all right, well, if you ever need anything, let me know. And it was bye-bye, and I never heard since, you know. But And TV never knocked again. You know, I've never sent
yet.
You know, I've any video stuff from here on out, I'm pushing or I'm at least in collab with it, like initiating it. But you know, that taught me the biggest lesson, though. Of, you know, I'm in the same boat of like, regardless of what situation I'm in, I think on that time, and I'm like, what if I said yes? I'm like, man, I'd be so unhappy, and then I smile in my situation, and you know, I'm grateful.
Gratitude, that's the only attitude worth having.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of this amazing conversation.
For information on everything from passports to driver's licenses to local weather, go to firstgov.gov. Firstgov.gov, the official source for federal, state, and local government information.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service on this station.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Log on to yougottabekidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
Don't be that guy. Log on to yougottabekidding.org.
You don't look yourself.
Got that right.
So what's up?
I think Iktomi's playing with me.
Most people think of Iktomi as coming in the form of a spider. He could just as easily be a rock.
He could have been a, could have been a, could have been up in that liquor. I was sipping to get bigger, make myself a giant. But my heart could not be ate. Scooping Gabby's in the tram. Still my stresses were deflated, ay. Yeah, I'm just a sad guy. Guess I take too much, not give. And they don't wanna see me close this fist. And I ain't gonna show these bros to kids. Yeah, I gotta watch my mouth, close lips. Four leaf clothes, they must hold lows. Y'all don't wanna meet none of my bros. Y'all don't wanna see my sisters go. Come from the res, I don't explain. Too much, can't divulge names. Lest they passed up and locked away. And it's best that that's all I say.
Eight legs crawling, pick your pain, I'll pick your poison. Got aces up my sleeve and ain't afraid, nigga, for showing. I put your ass in check when you thought that your life was flowing. So be careful what you choose, cause what you reap is what you sowing. Eight legs crawling, pick your pain, I'll pick your poison. Got aces up my sleeve and ain't afraid, nigga, for showing. I put your ass in check when you thought that your life was flowing. So be careful what you choose, cause what you reap is what you sowing.
I had my foot first. this path we riding on.
I stay working to stay certain I ain't perfect.
So searching, I'm so certain it's so worth it.
I'm still learning, sink a leap, you won't hurt me.
We've traveled far together on every road, we was worth it.
The way I'm living, I'm feeling like he told me.
The one and only, me and Quali shooting old homies. I'm an ancient figure that still fell from glory. Just kick back, relax, we can dip them up slowly. Just look into my eyes so you can really get to know me. While I hit you with this knowledge, let me share a little story. Your eyes are getting heavy, come here and lay your head down. Yeah, it's but a dream, you can go ahead and check out. I'll bring you wisdom, when I want you feeling left out. Then shapeshift like water hitting rocks up in the sweat house.
Legs crawling, pick your pain, I'll pick your poison. Got aces up my sleeve and ain't afraid, I'll freaking show them. I put your ass in check when you thought that your life was flowing. So be careful what you choose, cause what you reap is what you sowing. Eight legs crawling, pick your pain, I'll pick your poison. Got aces up my sleeve and ain't afraid, I'll freaking show them. I put your ass in check when you thought that your life was flowing. So be careful what you choose, cause what you reap is what you sowing. Eight legs crawling, pick your pain, I'll pick your poison. Got aces up my sleeve and ain't afraid.
I always tell people, even if you make a mistake, even if you just straight up mess up and blow it, if you'll stay in gratitude, if you'll stay in humility, Creator will come back around and get you. You know, it'll be all right. It'll work itself out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it'll be okay. Because I really believe there's no such thing as once in a lifetime. There may be one of that. There may be one of that particular daytime network, whatever. But there are going to be many opportunities that come your way. That doesn't mean you should squander them or be unprepared or lazy or just make, you know, oh, well. But it just means that if it's not then and it's not that, then it will be something else. And it'll be all right. And what I really want our young friends, at least, and we have a lot of people that listen as part of homeschooling, and we love you so much. I really want young people to be really attuned to flattery. You know, sometimes people come on and, oh, you're so talented. Oh, you're so smart. You're so, you're so good looking. You're so beautiful. You're so okay. And they're using that to, they're not using that to build you up. They're not using that to provide for you or bless, be a blessing to you. They're using it to get you to let all of your discernment go and all of your guard down and not listen to the mentors and elders in your life, right? I mean, if someone can say that to me, then they can say that to my father and my uncles and my brothers, can't they? If someone can say it, you know, in my DMs, then they should be able to say it publicly, right? That's
exactly.
Something that, again and again, right? So what do you think of that? About that?
It reminds me of, you know, like, I remember my, it all comes down to, like, just, it's an energy. I feel it as an energy. It's like when someone's coming to me a certain way, I feel like the wings, the like shoulders. I want to say like the back of, like right in my top of my back. I feel that clench up, and it affects my arms and everything. It's a flattery thing. Sometimes it can be like I've seen the culture just in general and different cultures be commercialized and commodified to an extent of, you know, even taking kinship terms, like how I was telling in the story before.
People
will come to you and act like they're the village that raised you. And that was always my thing of, you know, who is actually there, you know, regardless of their color, what they were. You know, there was, you know, white teachers that I had in school who supported me such a great deal and encouraged me in a way. You know, one actually just passed away a couple of days ago. Rest in peace to Nova Griss and her family and relatives and people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a teacher who I had who, you know, still worked up until recent. But when I was there, she taught me website design. That's what propelled me. Like when I got into college and they're like, okay, now you have a radio show, now you have music. That's what propelled me to be like, okay, here's what Bandcamp is. Okay, learn that really quick. Learn this, figure out social media and all this stuff to use it a certain way and create a flyer. And that came from her. Mm-hmm. A great deal, actually. You know, I think I was like a freshman or sophomore or junior in high school and teaching us website design. And it wasn't just that, it was this energy that she brought of, she really genuinely just wanted to see people succeed and thrive in whatever they defined that as. I always tell that to people because I hate telling them, you know, this is what you need. If you want this and that, you need to do this. My thing is like, whatever you define as succeeding, as soon as people start telling you, you know, things that, you know, sometimes it'll go against what your grandparents said. Sometimes it'll go against maybe it's not something that they said, but you just know, like, you know, deep in your heart that they would go, I don't know. And then it's up to you at that point. So is that because this really isn't the thing that I should be doing that this person's saying? Or is it because maybe they're just from a different time and they wouldn't understand that? Because that can be mm-hmm. a thing too. Like, you know, there's definitely mm-hmm. not one solution fits mm-hmm. all, but I pay attention to that. I had sure. a person approach me 1 week after I graduated, and this is kind of how I, am I allowed to say this? This is how I got my TEDx talk kind of came with some toxicity, is connections okay. and some of the powers that be, not to do with the organization, nobody from that organization. It was somebody that linked me to them and kind of got me there, asking me, like, after that event happened, leading up to it, they put me on a week in advance. So I had a week to prepare that. I didn't learn until, you know, I got there pretty much that the TEDx people were saying, like, well, geez, you know, usually we give people like a month or two in advance and we'll even assign them coaches for speaking.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get that. This was a week. I was 1 week out of college and they said that it happens in a week. They had said that they had never known that there was a Lakota at Penn, even though there's one in the grad and one in the undergrad, until that they had gone to actually South Dakota and somebody had mentioned me. And so they're like, oh, well, you know, we never met you, da-da-da. You know, and after talking to me, because they would ask me questions and then they would finish my sentence, trying to demonstrate mm-hmm. that they had knowledge of where I come from, but they were mm-hmm. getting it wrong every time. And mm. And I'm also just the person, if you try to do that to me, I'll like go completely left, just even if it's not real, just like do that. But I saw that and I saw how they were seeing me. They didn't expect me to do good because the whole way up, that person who was bringing me was like, are you sure? You know, can you do this? You know, do you want me to coach you and this and that? And I'm like, no, I got it. You know, I just had to present for this piece of paper. Like, I'll do
right.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
right.
Exactly. And so I do my thing and I thought it went okay. I come off the stage and this guy also had to perform and do a talk. He like first they told me no, not a second over 18 minutes. They kept telling me that.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. 2 days leading up to when like we're going over there, not a second over 17 minutes. I get there, not a second over 16.
Ooh.
So I cut 2 minutes just like on the spot, but I was used to that. You know, I had performed, I had dipped my hand into everything, and I was ready. I felt like I was built for that. And not to be cocky or anything, but I prayed about it, and I just felt determined. And so he goes up, and he had spent so much time talking about how he does this and kind of patronizing me a little bit and almost kind of like a condescending, I don't want to say racist, but kind of racial tone, and asking me weird questions about culture and different things. And he goes up there and he was, again, supposed to have not a second over 16 minutes. Cut to, like, 25, almost 30 minutes later, it was, you know, he's sweating, his tie is almost off, his thing's kind of unbuttoned, and, you know, he looks up at me after everything's done. He was feeling kind of bad. Like, you could kind of see it in his eyes, and he was nervous, he's sweating, and he looks up at me, and he says, "You've been doing this for a while, Hunt Allen." And I go, yeah, I guess so. And, you know, I ride the 10-some-odd hour ride with him back, and it didn't end there. You know, I get messages to go have dinner because he wants his kid to be around diverse people and different stories. And I'm like, well, I'm a dining trinket to you, but I would never say these things. You know, I'm from that very same thing of I present myself to be the dumbest one in the group everywhere I go, every situation. I'm a novice everywhere because I want to see how people treat the novice. Everybody yeah. knows how you're going to treat a master. You treat a master with respect. I see an elder, regardless who they are, what they did, you know, here's my seat. You need something. If I'm not helping you, I'm sorry. I don't want to be awkward. It's respect every time. I'm raised like that. But how do you treat a novice who is just a regular, quote-unquote, regular person, a common EKJ person? How do you treat them? So every situation I came into, work, music, different scenes, these speaking events, I go like that, humble like that. You know, you don't omit anything and you don't lie, but I try to, you know, be real, you know, not full of myself, because, you know, you never know when someone is going to, like, make something beautiful with you, but you also don't know when someone is really just trying to, they have a different motive, and it's unfortunate, but it exists. And I used to be like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, be a cynic and think that everybody is this and that, but I've learned over the years, it's like, well, it's not a cynical thing to just be careful either, especially when you're out of your element, when you're somewhere else, when you're amongst people and in a business and in a system. We're in an American system where, you know, regardless if it's capitalism or some other ism, it's always going to be about, you know, conquer. And it could be from the other, it could be from your own, and they'll use anything to get your guard down or to get some information out of you. My dad taught me like that. So, you know, even when I got approached by those TV places, I acted dumb. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. Even when I told them, like, yeah, I don't know, I guess I'm missing out, but I'll say no. Or, you know, I tend, especially if I'm feeling angry. If I'm feeling angry and furious at something, I try my hardest. Online it's easier because you're just typing, right? But I try to omit that emotion because sometimes that's what people want from me in general too. I kind of grew up a lot of that, mm-hmm. of like getting teased, mm-hmm. to just get a rise out of you, and sometimes that's what people want too, is they want you to give them your everything, and even if their project fails, they still got that free performance out of you, that free something. Now pair that with, you know, I do a lot of free stuff with other people, but compare that with the attitude of it. When they approach me, when we talk, when they take care of me, when I take care of them. I did another show for a powwow in New Jersey, on Lenape land. And it was, there was a birthday involved. And this particular guy whose birthday it was for, I remember, you know, he's a fellow Lakota, and we had done a barbecue and I had cooked and everything and I was so tired, you know, I told everybody go ahead and eat. Came up to me and he's mad. He's like, "Hey, where's that spirit plate, man?" And he just kept looking at me like, "Come on, what's going on?" And that was the most like loving kind of gesture I ever felt, because it was like, it was a different energy. It was like something so simple, but that said, remember to pray, remember to take care of these things, and don't forget who you are when you're here. Don't feel like you can't do that because you're here. And he didn't say all that, but that's what he said with his eyes and with his tone of voice. So when I go and I do the show for that family there, you know, they take care of me. They don't hold any of that care over my head. They urge me to stay and, you know, we'll feed you, we'll take care of you. You can sleep in this bed. You can eat our food, you know, be here, you know, da da da, come back. It was a different energy than, you know, coming back and like, oh, you know, there's this possible gig if you want to perform at it, I can get you some visibility and this and that. It was like, they weren't coming at me as like, oh, it'll help you. They're just like, you know, we would really appreciate it if you came and become and be a part of us and join us for this, and we could show you what we live like. And the energy was different. And I'm not saying it has to be another Indigenous person, because another Indigenous person can ask you, hey, come perform 4 hours. I'll give you like $50, and you know, if bring your own stuff, try to get here if you can. And it's just kind of like, they make it seem like it's a bother to reach out to you and even ask you to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people need to again like flatter you a certain way, but there's a certain type of love that even when you're flattering somebody, that doesn't exist when you're trying to just do that to get something out of them. When you're calling them brother just to get them to be a part of your thing, or saying things like, you know, what you will or won't do just because you want this thing to happen, or you feel like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's tricky.
Yeah, I do.
And
it is. It is. Mm-hmm. It really is. But I do think there's a big difference between flattery and honor. And I think you can hear honor when someone is really coming to you
right.
with a right heart. They may say kind things. They may say encouraging things. They may say family or kinship things. But when it's honor, your spirit can sense that, versus flattery, which is
right.
manipulation and control. We only have a few minutes left of this tremendous conversation. It's just wonderful. And I want to make sure you tell us about your awesome new project and how we can hear it and how we can get it and how we can support what it is you're doing now.
Oh, well, yes. First of all, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that. Last time I was on, I was, you know, shopping around the Traveling the Multiverse with the Ikdomi Part 2 owl, which, you know, covered a lot of about loss and, you know, changes and development and things like that. Now, this Friday or March 5th, Friday, March 5th, we're doing a live stream, and then after that it'll be on iTunes and Spotify and a visual on YouTube. Actually, the live stream has visuals with the lyrics all there. That way people can understand what they're hearing. But we have Traveling the Multiverse with Ikdomi Part 3. And this is the final part of, you know, this run of the series. This is the final collection, the kind of the climax of, you know, what we did at the residency in Washington. And I was there, you know, recording with them through First Peoples Fund with DCM Collective and Just James and Panoramic Dreams with TS The Solution Engineering, you know, amazing artists and amazing workers, collaborators that actually right now, you know, Film Digenous, which Just James is one of the founders of, and they have a an animation called Sister Wolves that I helped do some of the audio with that just got selected at the Maori Film Festival. And so, you know, they're constantly doing work. TS The Solution actually this Friday is doing a show, and then on March 18th he's doing another live stream show. You know, I highly encourage people to check him out, because he put his ear and a lot of his dedication and really overexerted himself and gave more than, you know, what we could support him for properly for this project, just to help us make it happen. It was originally supposed to be, you know, just one project of 16 songs, and it doubled in size, and I separated into three. And, you know, it shouldn't go without saying that, you know, these guys really stuck their neck out on the line for me and went above and beyond of what they're even, you know, thinking of doing with me, you know, three parts along from October 1st to December of last year to now March 5th. This portion of the series, this album, extremely special to me in that I feel like it finally culminates to, you know, people have been through the Coyote album and the Owl album, knows where we're coming from and kind of the attitudes that we're coming at this with. And Ikdomi's finally the revelation of, you know, what a lot of us are really feeling, what I'm certainly really feeling. A lot of the stories and the parts of my life that I feel like I haven't really been able to really fully honestly appreciate through my music and give tribute to, like, you know, certain things that have happened in my life and that I've encountered, that and people that I've encountered that I really wanted to represent in song, and a lot of it being like through these Ikdomi teachings, not through his direct teachings, but how he affects people in life as I see it today, and how universal it is, you know. And there's artists on here from, you know, Rosebud, like Delm D, Pine Ridge, like Rage Rock, there's artists from Washington, like Just James and Tony Louie and John Crown. But then also, you know, I got some producers who I've been linked up with since, you know, the very start, you know, apart from Delm D, Frank Castle, and then meeting up with new producers like DJ Spicy Ketchup. The songs, they're all like, if I released these songs before, I know I would kind of ruffle people in the wrong way. But I feel like the way they're presented now and the way that I've tried to build this context around the songs, that people can understand that it's just to represent what the realities are, not just to even just report on them, but to give validation to the people that go through those, to say, you know, it's okay. You know, this is reality. Some of these things are unfortunate, and this isn't to glorify them, but it's for us to be proud through it all. Because I feel like right now, a lot of the music isn't really telling us to be okay with what's going on and to persevere. I feel like some people are being demonized. And
I am so happy that you were here and willing to share from your heart with us today. And I congratulate you on your new music. And thank you for doing what you do and for being willing to share what you know and the talent you have and your journey with others. Thank you to all of you who listen to this show. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
And save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you. Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. music, pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.